This podcast replay is brought to you by Sports Grill. With over 35 years of making it special grilled, they're celebrating the start of football season with 15% off all bone-in wings. Visit any of their 7 locations all over South Florida.
All right, we are ready. Hour number 3 of the program. How you feeling, baby? You feeling good?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited. We got 4, excellent teams. This is the lowest the combined point spreads have ever been in the championship round, which just shows you the quality of competition that's left. We're going to have a great Super Bowl matchup no matter what, and I can't wait to watch these football games.
All right, so let's before we get into some of the stuff that we normally get into, let's talk a little bit on the Dolphins side. Let's get into, of course, the defensive coordinator. What do you think about the Vic Fangio stuff going around?
I can see it. It shows you, look at all the playoff teams that have changed coordinators, right? I mean, it's not good enough now to be a contender. It's not good enough to make the playoffs. The idea is to win a championship. And if you feel like anybody on your staff isn't part of your next championship roster, I think you have to think about upgrading. So, Fincher's a guy, he was a failed head coach, but that doesn't mean he can't be a really good coordinator. We've seen so many of those, right?
Lovie Smith, Wade Phillips,
North Turner.
North Turner. I mean, it goes on.
Josh McDaniels is going to go back in that pile in a year or two, probably, right? That's why I thought the Jets hiring Hackett was interesting, right? Yeah, awful head coach. It doesn't mean he can't be a good coordinator. So I get it. I think Fangio would be a good addition.
Yeah. I think Fangio would be a fantastic addition. We were talking with Ben Albright yesterday from KOA out in Denver, and he kind of knows a lot about what's going on. One of the things he told us about Fangio was that his mom is here in Florida, but his girlfriend, who's a surgeon, she's in California. So, it's like one of those things. Does he stay in Philadelphia if the defensive coordinator goes to Houston and takes that head coaching job because he's kind of the top candidate there? Or does he take the job here in Miami where he's kind of closer to the mom? And then I guess he'll commute back and forth with the girlfriend. She can commute, he can commute, that kind of stuff. Or does he go out west and take a job, out west that somebody might be interested in? That's kind of the thing. And the Sean Payton stuff going on. Does he go with Sean Payton? And right now, brother, it looks like Sean Payton is having trouble finding a home. So this Fangio thing might work out for the Dolphins. I almost think like the Dolphins are the third option. It's either you go with Sean Payton, or then you become the Philadelphia defensive coordinator, and then Miami after that. I almost feel like it's that.
Could be. I don't think there's a landing spot for Sean Payton. Now, he's going to be a hot commodity whatever year he goes back to coaching. Obviously, they still have to figure out compensation for the Saints as long as he's under contract for them. But I don't think the Denver spot, and I'm curious what Ben said about that, I don't think it's a perfect fit for Payton. I think Sean Payton's going to be announcing for another year.
Oh, Ben said that he's not the candidate there.
Yeah,
they're not.
I think so.
D'Amico Ryans is the guy apparently for Denver.
The San Francisco defensive coordinator. He's going to be a head coach somewhere. You just hope with a guy like Ryans, you just hope that when you first get that first head coaching job, I wouldn't want to be Houston. I would love him to go to a place where he could win. Maybe Denver is that spot. They did have a great defense last year. The problem obviously was the offense. It was a horrible season for Russell Wilson, and whoever takes that job, the key is you got to hire an offensive coordinator who can put Russell Wilson back together again.
So are you seeing fantasy players are looking at some of their players involved with the Jets, the Hackett thing? Does it look to you like they're trying to get an inside track to get Aaron Rodgers now?
Yeah, I mean, connect the dots, right? They had a great working relationship, and I think Rodgers and the Packers are probably ready to break up. It'd be a good cap savings for the Packers as well. We've seen this story before, right? Brett Favre went there. That was his first step after leaving Green Bay. So it seems to make a lot of sense.
Well, he wanted to go to Minnesota, but they refused to trade him there. So they sent him to the Jets, and then he ended up in Minnesota anyway.
What people forget about that Favre season is they were 8-3, and I think it was a shoulder injury. Favre got hurt at the end of the year, and then they basically took the pipe the rest of the season. And then he goes to Minnesota and had a MVP contention year in 2009. He finished fourth in the MVP behind Manning, Breeze, and Philip Rivers, in a lot of years, he would have had an MVP. He had 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, something like that. So Favre did have a really nice landing. And then he was terrible the next season. Everybody remembers the pick he threw in the NFC Championship game that year. But I think Aaron Rodgers is changing teams. I think Tom Brady's changing teams. We just saw an absolute crazy offseason last year, right? And Wilson changed teams, and all the receivers. You guys got Tyreek Hill, and A.J. Brown moved, and Devontae Adams left Green Bay, which shocked everybody. This year it's going to be more of the same because Rodgers and Brady, I don't think they can come back. Maybe the Green Bay thing could be figured out. If Brady plays next year, it's not going to be in Tampa Bay.
Well, it looks like probably the Raiders
I think so. McDaniels, Devontae Adams. Maybe Darren Waller has another good season for us. There's better infrastructure. Tom Brady, look, the guy, he's one of the greatest of all time. You could say he's the GOAT. He's certainly in the conversation. But when you're in the mid-40s, you got to have perfect setup. In Tampa Bay, they've kind of aged out, right? Leonard Fournette's going to be a salary cap cut. Mike Evans is a great player. He's in his 30s now. They didn't get a great season from Godwin. They obviously missed Gronkowski, and the offensive line wasn't perfect. So Brady doesn't want to get hit anymore. He doesn't take sacks. He gets rid of the ball. If the play isn't there right away, he throws it into the ground.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're hoping Tua learns how to do, by the way.
Yeah, sure, for sure. So I can see, McDaniels and Brady seems like – plus, Brady already has pirate experience. So it seems like that's – and it's funny, Big O, you talk about, athletes who ended their careers in weird spots. Jerry Rice is a Seahawk, or Shaq was on the Celtics, or Patrick Ewing was on the Sonics, I think it was. Was he in the Heat too briefly? I forget. But some of these guys, it's going to be like, oh, remember when Tom Brady played a season with the Raiders? Or remember when Aaron Rodgers played a season with the Jets? I mean, we're looking at some of that stuff. It isn't always pretty. Manny Ramirez was on Tampa Bay, I want to say. Just some of these great things. Ken Griffey on the White Sox.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. All right. So we look at the Brady situation. Are you shocked that Sean Payton is having trouble finding a home?
No, it just you want the right jobs to be open. Sean Payton's not going to go to Houston, right? Sean Payton's not going to go to a rebuild. He's not going to go to the Colts and never.
Shit, but they've got the second and the 12th pick in the draft. They've got extra picks on top of all of that. They've got $40 million in cap space. He can get his young quarterback right in year one. He's not going to have to trade.
Maybe that's a statement. Maybe he doesn't see the quarterback he wants in the draft, too. That's entirely possible. If he's not sold on one of these guys, I think Sean Payton wants to helicopter.
I like the Alabama kid, but he's small. He's smaller than Tua.
It's certainly a concern. I would rather have Stroud myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, wow, okay, I like him, but man, he's actually really small. He's going to have to, overcome some real stuff.
And you wonder, right, what just happened this year, right? I mean, Kyler Murray had a messy season. Russell Wilson had a messy season. It's not like you can't win with a smaller quarterback, but you really need to scheme around it, and a lot of things have to be in place. And if that Jenga puzzle misses one piece, a lot of it can easily collapse. I wonder if that's making some people nervous.
No, of course. I'm with you there. All right, we got it so far. Line going into Sunday. Eagles are favored by 2.5. The over and under is 46.5. What do you think about that game?
I think it's going to go under. I think this is going to be 20 points will go a long way in this game. We have not seen Brock Purdy be challenged, really. Play under duress, have to chase a game. The Cowboys had a chance. The Cowboys easily could have had a 10-point lead at halftime of that game, and they blew it. They were behind at halftime because Dak threw another pick, and the Niners got that late field goal. And then the second half, San Francisco, we see how physical they are and how well-conditioned they are. They really put teams away in the second half. That power running game, McCaffrey, Eli Mitchell, I don't know why he was running out of bounds at the end of the game, but he was sure running well at the end of the game. So I think San Francisco is going to try to make this a guts match, a power football game. I think George Kittle is dead under this week. He's going to be blocking a lot. He's going to catch 3 passes. And Brock Purdy probably throws for 165 yards. San Francisco wants to make this a rock fight.
Okay. All right. And then the other one, it is Kansas City, now favored by 1.5. It was Cincinnati favored, but then after that whole podium and practice thing by Mahomes, now the line has gone to 1.5 KC at home. And then the over and under is 48. Where are you going?
Yeah, it's been a ping pong match, right? As you said, the lines jumped all around. At one point, Cincinnati was favored, I think, by 2 points. But of course, when the line's this low, you're really just picking the winner. The key is going to be who's going to step up for Kansas City. The Bengals are going to do everything they can to make sure Travis Kelce's not catching 15, 16 passes again. I mean, I think he's going to be down to like maybe 4 or 5. Does Juju Smith-Schuster step up? Does MVS make a big play this week? Do the running backs get involved in the passing game? Very little McKinnon last week, which surprised me. I have to take the Bengals with a point. I mean, I know 1.5, 2 points isn't a lot, but I love what they did with their offensive line was the big concern into the Buffalo game, right? And then you watch that game. Not only did you never think about the offensive line, but Joe Mixon looked the best he's looked in like 2 months. And there's a certain gravitas to Burrow. He doesn't shy away from these moments. Not that Mahomes does. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a great player. He's the best player in the league in my mind. He's going to waltz to the MVP trophy. He's already been named AP Pro Bowl quarterback, which is basically what the MVP ends up being. He's going to win that. He may even be unanimous, but they've lost to the Bengals 3 straight times, including a game this year. And the Bengals, I think they're going to force Kansas City to beat them with their second and third pitches. And even though Mahomes had an MVP season, they haven't had a consistent second or third pitch this year. I have to lean Cincinnati.
Okay. All right. So let's get to a couple of fantasy plays. Let's start off with the San Fran game. Brock Purdy. Let's go with 220 passing yards, higher or lower.
Oh, man, that's an easy under for me. They are not going to ask him to throw more than 30 passes unless the game gets out of hand. And I think with the San Francisco defense, top five defenses in this game, the game isn't going to get out of hand. They are going to manage Purdy. Now, the thing that's tricky about this is that they can manage him and he can throw a slant pass to Debo and he might take it 70 yards at the house. The skill talent in San Francisco is so good with McCaffrey and Ayuk and Kittle and obviously with Debo Samuel. But I think Kyle Shanahan is not going to put this game squarely on the shoulders of Brock Purdy unless things have gone horribly wrong in the first half. That's an easy under for me.
All right. Christian McCaffrey, 4.5 receptions, higher or lower, 57.5 rushing yards, higher or lower, and 32.5 receiving yards, higher or lower.
I like going over. And this may sound counterintuitive because I was just saying go under on Purdy, but I like going over on the McCaffrey receiving props because they're going to want to hit an easy button. If stuff's taken downfield, they can say, look, there's nothing wrong with a check down. We'll take 5 yards of McCaffrey anytime we can get it. And you know, every once in a while, those turn into 15-yard gains. This is going to be a game where I can see McCaffrey catching like 6 passes. I think his receiving props are in play.
Okay. Debo Samuel, let's go with 51.5 receiving yards, 4.5 receptions, and let's go with 21.5 rushing yards. Higher or lower on any of those?
Yeah, definitely lower on the rushing yards. I think it's going to be a case of he might beat the receiving yard prop, but he's not going to beat the reception prop because I don't think there'll be enough volume in the passing game. The two unders I like there, I'd go under on his receptions and under on his rushing yards. He might beat the receiving prop because, again, you know, he catches one pass with a little bit of a steam under him and he gets an angle on defender. He might make a 25-yard game with it. But I don't think it's going to be a big Debo volume game.
All right, George Kittle, 4 receptions, 46.5 yards receiving.
Yeah, he's going to be an offensive lineman this week. George Kittle's going to end this game with 3 catches for 31 yards. I think he's, again, because they don't want Purdy to have to steer the game, and the defense is so good that I think this is going to be like a 2017 game. I think the game total under is a great play. And George Kittle, the great thing about Kittle is that he doesn't care. He would block every down. He doesn't care. He just wants to win. He's just a football player, and he's not going to complain. He's not going to, you know, you saw all that stuff Stephon Diggs was doing after the game last week, was complaining and everything. I mean, whatever. He wants to win, and I don't hold that against him. But George Kittle will do anything you want. He'd play linebacker if you asked him to.
All right, Jalen Hurts, 1.5 passing touchdowns, 0.5 interceptions, 250.5 passing yards, and 46.5 rushing yards. Higher or lower?
I like going under in the rushing prop, and I like going over on the passing interceptions. Just thinking this is the biggest game he's played in. He plays in a playoff game last week with the Giants. Like, nice story. They made the playoffs. I don't know how Brian Daboll did it, because that was not really a significant contender. They beat the Vikings, who were a fraudulent team. Good for you. And, you know, Dable's a hell of a coach. Daniel Jones took a nice step forward. He's going to get a big bag of money. But they went to Philadelphia and just get totally outclassed. Hurts has not been in this kind of stressful situation before. I think he throws an early. I think you'll win that interception prop early. And I think he'll go under the rushing. It's dangerous to go under with a mobile quarterback like Hurts. And a lot of times in the playoffs, these quarterbacks run more aggressively because what are you saving yourself for? But I expect Ryans to have a spy for Hurts all game. They're not going to let Hurts have those easy 13-yard runs that he gets against so many teams. They're going to make sure he beats them with his arm. So I think you're going to see a pick from Hurts, and I think you're going to see a low rushing game from Hurts, surprisingly. And the other thing, too, is even if you bet the under on him, if the Eagles win the game, he may have kneel downs at the end of it, then you lose like five yards. So there's a kick back there. If you want to bet the under on the rushing prop, I say wait until kickoff. I think the number goes up, and then you hit the under right before. Basically, generally, the rule of thumb is if you're betting overs, get in early. If you're betting unders, get in late.
Okay. That's good. That's good advice right there. Miles Sanders, 52.5 rushing yards, and Kenneth Gainwell, 11.5 rushing yards after last week. So what do you got for me there?
I love Gainwell there because I think what's going to happen is Sanders is going to run up against this brick wall, and they're going to be spying Hurts, and eventually they're just going to sprinkle in Gainwell for some change of pace carries. I think he'll get 4 to 6 touches in this game. Now, granted, the Niners' defense is so strong, he can maybe carry it 5 times for 10 yards. That's in play. But Gainwell looked really good last week. I don't think they can unsee that. I think he has a role in this game. 11.5, when you said Gainwell's name, I thought to myself, I'm really curious what this number is. I think I could take it up to maybe 20 yards or something like that. Yeah,
11 why do you think I brought it? Why do you think I brought it up?
I played
the higher in that one already.
Yes, I would get it. Again, you want to bet overs, you go in early. So that's one you look up right now.
Here's the other thing that you didn't mention that I'm sure you probably are thinking in the back of your – what about an injury happens to Sanders?
There you go.
And then you have
or a
no
fumble,
choice.
Right? What if Sanders fumbles or something, right? Injury or fumble, and all of a sudden Gainwell's your featured back, and he ends up with seven yards.
Right, yeah, exactly. So to me, 11.5 yards is a freaking joke. All right, A.J. Brown, 71.5 yards receiving and 5 receptions.
Because I think the game's going to go under. I could never bet over in those games, on those totals. I lean under. More on the
okay. How about Dallas Goedert? Because when you are facing tough defenses,
middle of the field,
tight ends become high percentage passes for young quarterbacks to running backs and tight ends. Dallas Goedert is at 4.5 receptions and 45.5 yards receiving.
Yeah, I think he'll beat that receiving number. This is the best over I see on this game is that Dallas Goedert will be somewhere in the 50s in receiving. I like that. I agree with you. When the downfield stuff is not available, it's take the
check down Charlie, baby.
Yeah. And the tight end is always open because you can't, even if there's a guy on them, he's not 6'5".
Right. And he can body the guy and separate between him and the ball.
That's why all those tight ends are all former basketball players, right? They're all power forwards.
Yeah, that's right. All right. What's it called? Joe Cool, 0.5 interception. Mm-hmm. 297.5 total yards, and we'll go with 277 passing yards.
I lean over. I don't think much of this Kansas City defense. The big thing is going to be if they get Mixon going, they're going to have a balanced offense. If they don't get Mixon going, Burrow's going to throw 45 passes. My tendency is to think that what Mixon did last week is not repeatable. He hasn't really had a great season. He had one game where he scored 5 touchdowns, but it wasn't a great fantasy season for Mixon. So I think Burrow is going to steer the offense. I think he'll go over the passing prop. But if he doesn't do it, it's because Mixon was more effective than I expected.
All right. So Mixon, they've got him at 59.5 rushing yards and 14.5 attempts.
Yeah. He might get the attempts, but I think you go under on that. Because if Cincinnati will not – they will not say, well, we're getting 2 yards a run. Let's just keep running it. At some point, they'll junk the running game. And maybe Kansas City scores enough that they force a track meet. This will be the higher scoring of the two games. In part because the defenses, right? I mean, the Bengals are a shade above average and the Chiefs are below average on defense. They're easily the worst defense that's on the field this weekend. So I think it's going to be a lot of throwing in this game. I don't think it's going to be a game where either team controls it on the ground.
All right, Ja'Marr Chase, 7 receptions, 0.5 a touchdown, and 83.5 yards receiving.
I like the touchdown. That's where I would go. Because Chase can beat you down the field, and he can also beat you in the red zone. He's really good in the space. And before the season, we thought, okay, well, Chase is the one, and Higgins is the 1A. It's a 1 and a 2. Chase is the one. In fact, I have colleagues of mine who think Chase should be the top fantasy receiver drafted next year. And obviously, Justin Jefferson's a candidate there. They played together. Just crazy to think that Burrow, Jefferson, and Chase were all together at LSU on one team. It just seems unfair. And somehow the Eagles drafted Jalen Reagor instead of Justin Jefferson, which I will never in a million years understand because Reagor wasn't even that good at TCU. But I digress. Chase has scored a touchdown this week.
All right, T. Higgins, 4.5 receptions and 57.5 yards receiving.
Yeah, you know, because that number's adjusted.
I kind of like that number.
I just said Higgins is the two, but if you're going to push that number that far down to me, yeah, I think he can get the 60 yards. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be somebody's number one. That guy's headed for a $15-plus million payday
in
free agency. He's not going to stay there. He's going to go somewhere else. One more, Hayden Hurst, 4 receptions or 35.5 yards receiving.
If you can get 3.5, I'd go over on it, but 4 is a no play. I would lay off that, but you may find a 3.5 somewhere. If you can get that, that means 4 is a winner for you. I could take that.
All right. Pat Mahomes, 0.5 an interception. They do have a lot of turnovers on that team. 284 yards passing.
I love the
interception, actually.
I do, too, because the thing is, the gift and the curse of Mahomes – right. Even when somebody's not open, you might think, well, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I can make that throw. I'm Patrick Mahomes. I can turn something that looks like a dead play into a live play, and you live with it because usually it's a good thing. But he only needs to make one, you know, screwy throw or one pass that's not in the right spot. It's deflected. It hangs up in the air. It feels like an hour. Those things are always – if they're going to get caught, when a pass is deflected in the air, that's when they get picked. Yeah, I can see him throwing a pick here. I like that, too.
And Cincy secondary is playing ball. Okay.
They made the Bills look like a 5-12 team.
Okay.
Man, did they dominate that game? Yeah, I was shocked. You know, Buffalo, just to digress for a second, they are a dome team that plays outside. They're such a finesse team. They did not want to get punched in the mouth, and that's what Cincinnati did for 3 hours. They punched him in the mouth.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, Pacheco, 48.5 yards rushing. Jerick McKinnon, 4 receptions or 30.5 yards receiving.
You know, again, if you get 3.5 on McKinnon, I could sign off on that. I was shocked he wasn't used more in last week's game, but of course the game got off script because Mahomes got hurt and he had to play. Then Mahomes comes back, but he's not healthy, and they had to shield him from all sorts of stuff. I think McKinnon will be more involved. I'd like to see those numbers go a little bit lower. I'm not sure if their play's there. And I actually don't like the Pacheco play either. So I'm going to pass on most of that. But if you got 3.5 on McKinnon, I could take it.
All right, one more. Travis Kelce, 7 receptions, 0.5 a touchdown, and 78.5 yards receiving.
My strongest play of this game is go under on the 7. The Bengals will not let him do what he did to Jacksonville. He won't let that Godzilla in New York thing will not happen this week. They're going to make sure... Actually, if you can get Juju, I don't know what Juju's number is, but I think Juju is going to probably lead them in receptions this week. Not by choice, but kind 4. Of necessity. Yeah, well,
it's
that's
4.
Easy. Punch that over all day.
Okay, there you go. All right, good stuff there. What do you got going on in Yahoo?
I'm actually off this week, so I don't have anything going on, but we did do the normal Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. The guys previewed all the games and picked all the games. I'll be back Monday. We do a wrap podcast on what we saw this weekend. Fantasy baseball is just around the corner. We're doing a lot of work behind the scenes for that. So if you're a fantasy baseball player, come over to Yahoo Sports.
There you go. Appreciate you as always, Scotty. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football, my friend. You're a stud.
I enjoy talking to you, Big O. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, my man. You're the best. There you go. Scott Pianowski, baby. Gotta love it. Don't forget Sports Grill. $1.50 Bud Light drafts and bottles during the NFL games. They've got these new cocktails that they added, the cherry lemonade and the tailgate tea, $5 only during the NFL games, $12 domestic pitchers, and bone-in wings, 15% off. The Doral location is open. It's rocking. It's awesome. You got to go check it out. The buttermilk chicken sandwich, they just added that to the menu, and it is absolutely delicious. Lots of people are ordering that the last couple of months since they added it. And, you know, Sports Grill is known for their sauces. They've got some of the best-tasting sauces out there. That's why their wings are so popular. You know, the special grilled wings are heaven. Well, the buffalo sauce, the Miami Heat, the blackberry, the barbecue, the Dale. They've got all those sauces where you can take them home now. Douse anything and everything. Douse your loved one with it and eat them up. Sports Grill, baby.